Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes Patrick Mahomes throws an interception. I just threw an interception. You want to be caller number 7?
Finally, now. I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning. Like a dairy cow.
Oh, yes! Yes!
Caller number 7, you have a chance of winning a $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu with now two locations.
Mm-hmm.
95th and Nall and 135th at Metcalf.
There may be something at 119th and Nall by like October
also,
20th.
Also, Shawnee Mission Ford on a mission to do more online at ShawneeMissionFord.com. My bad, folks.
Yeah, hey, I got a my bad.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Too, Dusty, we both made a boo-boo in that last segment. Hy-Vee, today also, you're going to save big on gas, okay? It's not just next week. It is today as well. Today's the 18th of September, right? You got one day only to earn a 50-cent per gallon fuel discount when you spend just $50 on groceries. And so we'll be going to Hy-Vee a little bit later on today, getting our grocery shopping on, getting our fuel savers on. So you get an opportunity to save 50 cents per gallon today on your fuel savers when you spend $50 or more on groceries. Check out all the low prices at Hy-Vee.
Chiefs might need to do some work adding to their roster. Mac, there's a couple names that maybe we could be interested in if you're the Chiefs trying to add to this team.
Yeah, there are a lot of names. Some of them are already gone. Jadeveon Clowney. It's okay.
Dallas.
Brian Robinson. It's okay.
San Francisco.
Yep. Tank Bigsby.
Philadelphia.
It's okay. There's still other guys out there. Let's talk about them. Three names in this article. Let's start with a tight end. David Njoku, 29 years old, out of Cleveland, obviously. We know what the Browns are. They don't have a lot of future. They're paying him. He's good.
He's good. So just real quick, this is an article for Bleacher Report. This isn't fact. This isn't guys that are available. Like I don't want people to think, well, this guy's available. Why didn't we trade? This is, you know, conversation piece. That's
yeah,
all
this
it
could
is.
Happen. This could be a guy.
Yeah. Could not be a guy. I think David Njoku on the surface sounds good because it looks like we could use some help in that area. But I also think about, you know, you've already spent on tight ends, right? You've got Travis Kelce. You've re-signed Noah Gray. You drafted, you know,
Jared
Wiley. So you've got an investment in the tight ends.
Jake Brandstuhl.
Yeah, right. Bob Tonyan. But I've had somebody tell me over the years, like, just because you've already spent the money on the sunk cost, don't let it determine if you can get yourself better at something, right? And so I look at that and I go, yeah, even still, I mean, at 29 years old, he seems like he would be a nice addition to this ball club in a vacuum. But I think I would pass on the tight end position right now.
I mean, I love the target in the red zone where they struggle to score. And Travis Kelce, who they're trying to load management, at least that's what we think. We kind of believe that. that's a good spot to load manage, because we haven't seen, like Bob said, Jared Wiley, haven't seen much of Bob Tonyan, Noah Gray. I know had an opportunity, but Patrick Mahomes obviously missed that target. But I'm okay with David Njoku. It'd be great. Big body, dude.
Huge, strong. Big, yeah, you mentioned the red zone. Yeah, he'd be good. He'd be good with inside the 10 with Travis and company. Familiar name that we've talked about and discussed here.
Yeah,
back again. I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. Tyreek Hill.
Well, it's easy clickbait for Mike Florio anybody else who, anytime somebody puts it out there, it's immediate like
Tyreek Hill with the Chiefs.
Yeah, like moss to the light. Yeah. You know, when you turn on the light, all the moss go flying. That's like everybody Tyreek Hill to the Chiefs. The answer for me is unequivocally no.
No,
I'm out. He's just too much off the field, and you're getting your guys back now, right? Xavier Worthy will be back this week. Jalen Royals will be back this week. You're getting closer and closer now to getting Rashi Rice back. Based on all of that, first of all, I don't think there's a need. And second of all, he's a freaking headache, man. I don't want to deal and have that guy here in Kansas City. That's my opinion.
That's like horseradish.
Yeah, I'd say if you do have to bring him in and take on that contract, I would be like, there is going to be some big staples of limitations. You get in trouble, this happens, it's voided. I don't know if you can do that, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I think there's other opportunities where you could succeed, because you do have Worthy coming back and Rice eventually coming back, plus Jalen Royals going to play as well. Yeah. So let's maybe pump the brakes a little bit on that. This guy is not falling in the receiver room.
No, it is not. You're right. It's actually getting brighter, and it's gotten brighter over the last 24 to 48 hours, too, knowing that Worthy's going to be back.
Yeah, huge. We've known the running game, the lack thereof, rather, in Kansas City these past 2 weeks. Jerome Ford, another guy from the Cleveland Browns, 26 years old.
Yeah, that's a position I would absolutely 100% be interested in. And I think that's the, from a skill position set, that's the position group that I would look at if I'm the Chiefs to try to make a move. Because I've seen 2 weeks now. I'm very nervous that Isaiah Pacheco has lost it. I really am. I don't believe he's confident in himself right now. I can see that just by the way he's not running up the middle, where he used to just barrel ahead. Obviously, Kareem Hunt has seen better days. You've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the practice squad. You got Breshard Smith. Let's go. I'd rather see those two guys this week than maybe some of what else we've been rolling out there at the running back position. So from a positional standpoint, yeah, I'd be very aggressive at running back right now. If you can find the right fit for you, bring him in here and see if you can't get better at that running back position. But I think you just have too much invested in the tight end spot, and you're getting very healthy at the wide receiver position. So I don't view them as big needs. But I do view running back right now. Yeah, the wheels have fallen off the other two pretty quickly.
Agreed.
Yeah. But that's also good advice when you're looking at players, man. The wheels fall off fast. That's why you can't hesitate moving a guy a little bit early to get better in return.
Yeah, I hate to be picky in a situation where you can't be picky. I'd rather not have Jerome Ford. I'd rather wait and see, like, if the Jets sell or if the Saints sell. Because would you rather have Kamara or Jahan Johnson?
Jawan Johnson?
Yeah, Jawan Johnson or Alvin Kamara. Okay.
Yeah, Kamara. But I'd also, like, the Breece Hall name is running back that I've loved for years. And I don't know if he's available, but he very well could be. New coach, new GM in New York. They're not loyal to anybody other than the guys they drafted this year. And so that may be a guy that could be potentially available.
We'll see what happens as they move closer and closer. We'll get to Nate Taylor in just a little bit as he joins us every Thursday. But we come back. Discussion of an elite quarterback. Can they still be considered elite? We'll talk to Nate Taylor at 8:25 and get into that topic as well. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Shout out to Brendan. That was our winner of the $50 Booth Creek Wagyu.
Brendan.
He said his wife is pregnant and he can't wait to surprise her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man. He says his wife's pregnant, been struggling a little bit, and this will brighten up her day with a surprise of some Booth Creek Wagyu steaks.
Nice. Way to go, man. Get the Denver cut. That's all you need is one steak. It'll feed a family of four, I promise
you. There you go.
Mm. Nate Taylor coming up at 8:25 here on our show that we call Fesco and Dusty. Before we get into that, you had brought up a question if we can still consider Joe Burrow an elite quarterback.
Yeah, my friend Joe, who, you know, brought back the steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Thank you, Joe. Sends me a text the other day, and I had to think about it for a while, because he's not wrong when you say Joe Burrow really can't be in that conversation with elite, because you can't make the club in the tub. And part of you being a quarterback or an alignment or whatever position in professional sports is your ability to be there. And they always say the best ability is availability. And Toe Burrow just has not had the availability that he needs for his team to be successful right now. And I think Joe Burrow, I hate to use the Mike Trout comparison because that's easy to do, but it kind of is Mike Troutish right now, right? Had the one season that you really popped, which was Mike Trout's, 2014 season. They made the playoffs, got dismissed by the Royals very fast. Joe Burrow and his team had that one year, and he's kind of been, you know, the quarterback that's always been in that conversation. But man, if he can't stay healthy, his entire legacy gets changed because of that. And that does become his legacy. He becomes the guy that you go, yeah, but he was always hurt. And I hope for our sake, because I love sports and I love watching athletes do things that I can't do, you know, and Joe Burrow is one of those guys that does some marvelous things. I just hope it doesn't go the way of Andrew Luck or Mike Trout, where we never get to realize and see the true player because he's always dealing with injuries. And that eventually becomes kind of your narrative and who you are as an athlete. And right now, Toe Burrows, man, that guy's been out a lot to be considered one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Had he been playing all the time, it's a different conversation.
Yeah, if you look at that Super Bowl run, that first game, the Raiders had that game. Derek Carr drove down the field. There was a BS penalty at the end of the game. They should have lost. The next game, they go to Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill starts the game with a pick six, throws three interceptions. Joe Burrow does not do much in that game. I think he threw one touchdown. We know what happened in Kansas City in that AFC Championship game. It was the biggest meltdown.
Well, we really don't, because we still don't know what happened in the locker room at halftime.
We know what we saw, which was a confusing meltdown that we have never seen really since up from this team and from this offense. I mean, it was just debilitating. And then he played pretty well in the Super Bowl, but They lost. That's it, man.
Absolutely.
So where
are you with his narrative right now? Because it does change. If you can't play, it's hard to put you up into that category of the greatest of your generation. Now, when he plays, he's fantastic. But this is now the second season in, the last three, where he's basically missed the entire year.
Yeah, and it was his first healthy offseason of his whole career.
Yeah.
This was it.
And he's had the wrist injury, the toe injury, the other injury. Like, this guy's been banged up a lot, man. It's starting to become who he is as a player.
I thought he was a little overrated before, but now, yeah, I don't think he can be discussed in that class. I agree.
That's hard for me to say, right? Because overrated overall body work, maybe, but when he plays, I think he's really good, man. He really is a special quarterback.
I guess I just don't think he's in the, again, it's like two people. I just don't think he's in the Allen Mahomes tier.
No, he's not in that tier. No, he's in the second tier.
Yes. When healthy.
I think we all know now it's Allen and it's Mahomes, right? Those are your two guys. And then it's everybody else in that conversation.
I think you could consider, if you're in the top five, you're elite. I think it's Mahomes and Allen are the leaders, right? Like, I think that's the top two. And then I think you could throw in Lamar.
Yeah.
And then I think you could throw in Burrow, because I think he's always going to be elite. It's just that he's always going to have this plague of, can the elite, how long will he be able to stay elite because of the injuries? And I think that he's still that quarterback. I think he will still come back this season, depending on where they're at, right? If they're still, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, luckily they're 2-0, so they're off to a good head start. But again, Jake Browning's going to take over. Mm-hmm, we'll see how long that lasts until video comes out of his tendencies. Obviously, he came into Jacksonville. We've seen this before. When a quarterback comes in, it changes the whole game plan. We've seen that with Justin Herbert, who was trying to knock on that door of elite status this year. Because, Mac, I think you've probably seen a lot of this in the fantasy world. A lot of people pissed at drafting Amari Hampton, right? Chargers are going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball a ton.
Yep.
Harbaugh's letting Herbert just sling it.
He's in love with guy, though. Like,
loves him.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen a coach in love with a player. Like, I don't even know that Andy's in love with Patrick as much as Harbaugh professes his love for Justin Herbert.
It's
right
almost
now
on the same level as Vermeil and Dante Hall.
Ooh, that's a good comparison.
Like, if Burrow threw a walk-off touchdown, I bet Harbaugh would hug him and cry.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
It's like his brother.
If Herbert threw a game-winning touchdown, Harbaugh, you know, he'd go there and cry. Because I remember how many times Dante Hall took him to the house. The first thing we'd all look for in the sideline was, here comes Vermeil. He's going to cry and hug him. And then at the end of the game,
that was the coolest, really, relationship to be around. I'll never forget. It was Dick's birthday. I forget what year it was, right? And his wife got him a Corvette for his birthday. This is the rich being the rich in this situation, right? And we were all out on the practice field, and it was his birthday and whatnot. And all of a sudden, everybody kind of parted out of the ways, and this red Corvette drives out onto the field. I think Dante was driving it, you know. And, you know, like him and Dick, for me, will have a relationship that I don't know that anybody else in sports has ever had anything like that. And thank God, because Vermeil believed in that guy and gave him an opportunity when a lot of people probably wouldn't and would have written him off. And he turned out to be one of the best kick returners in the NFL. So you're right on that, Dusty. I think that relationship with Harbaugh and Herbert is kind of borderline Vermeil and Dante Hall. Yeah,
and watching that Kingdom documentary on ESPN, you kind of saw that with Spags and Chris Jones.
Like, yeah,
those two kind of have that bond. Obviously, working every day together, every minute together, and then, you know, winning a big game. What, you know, the wife comes up. What kind of pasta do you want? Yeah. Don't ask him that question. He'll answer. Like, there'll be four different ones.
Yeah,
whatever you make, Mrs. Spags, I'll eat it.
Yep.
Which, yes, for sure, 100%.
Yeah,
it is 8:25. So we are now joined by our guy Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby rap.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
From the corrections department, our friend Sean Barber texts. He says, good morning, it was a Porsche. That's right, it was a Porsche.
<There you go. laughs>
It 100% was a Porsche. I totally forgot. I don't know why I had Corvette on my mind, but it was. Yes. Thank you, Sean.
Barbara's always there to fact check you.
Love it. Good morning. It was a Porsche.
Good morning to Nate Taylor, as looks like practice might be being indoors today. Nate, it is National Cheeseburger Day, so you are required to ask Andy Reid if he speaks today about what his toppings would be for a cheeseburger. What are your must-haves on a cheeseburger for toppings?
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys for informing me of this. Normally, you know, I know Andy Reid is a big five guys type of guy. So I would do, you know, the traditional cheese, bacon, lettuce, tomato, pickles, not grilled onions, just regular diced onions, and then a lot of mustard. So that would be my order. You know, make it a double, you know, if you're feeling good.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You just went for everything in the refrigerator, though. Nate, you said, give me the usual, and you listed, like, everything that we all have in our fridge. So you're putting everything on this sucker.
Oh, of course. And, you know, if it was up to me and we were grilling, you know, unlike a day like today, I might go for, you know, a more simplified version of just, you know, burger, cheese, pickles and gate sauce just smothered all over that thing.
Yeah. Getting hungry now. Nate, I want to ask you this, and I don't mean this in like a soft way, as if like they're not tough. Have the Chiefs gotten soft with allowing people to get away with stuff? You know, we saw the Matt Nagy call out last week against Juwan Taylor. He, you know, kind of had his best game maybe in a long time at right tackle. What about running backs? Like, do we need to call those guys out and like get them better? Because obviously videos go wild on the internet after a couple games, and missing pockets, missing reads, missing holes when it comes to running the game with Isaiah Pacheco. And I know that drives you crazy watching that on the All 22 the next day, but does somebody need to get called out in that running back room?
Yeah, everybody involved, right? I just want to remind people just how bad it's been. And again, I know it's only two games, but this is the only sample size we have, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not sure it's going to get like extremely better. Unless the Chiefs change their approach to running the football. But let's be honest. I can't remember a single play where the Chiefs have given the ball to either Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco, mostly Pacheco exclusively, given he's the younger back and he's the starter, where they've actually broken a tackle and gained additional yards. That play does not exist. We all know that there's the footage of 3rd-and-2. Holy smokes. Why is he running into the back of, you know, Kingsley Suamataia, when you got Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey creating a hole for you? I thought Pacheco looked great in the preseason, given we were only going to get a limited number of snaps with him. But, hey, it did showcase that he is healthy, that his speed has returned. He's got a lot of burst. That has just, for some reason, not shown up. The Chiefs have one of the worst running games in all of football. You know, I put the statistic, I guess, on Sunday, right? This is through our own ESPN research where, you know, Patrick Mahomes is the second quarterback since 1950 to have double the amount of rushing yards as anybody else on the team. None of those are design runs, kids. Those are all scrambles. The Chiefs' best running play is when Patrick Mahomes decides, hey, the other team's in man-to-man coverage. No one's open immediately. I might as well scramble for 7, 8, 10 yards at a pop. They struggle in short yardage, you know, which is why I think people hate the call that Andy Reid made for the 4th-and-1 play against the Eagles last week. And if there was ever a time for Isaiah Pacheco to showcase what he was in the 2022-2023 seasons, please do it in New Jersey. Do it in your home state, right? Do it against the Giants, who are a decent defense, but we just saw the Cowboys go up and down the field whenever they wanted to last week, and that's a divisional opponent. So I think the harshest criticism has to go to Pacheco, because we knew that Kareem Hunt was more transitioning to a third-down running back, a change-of-pace guy, a short yardage guy. They need a lot more out of Pacheco, and they need to call better running plays to where you know, he has a clear idea as to where the football needs to go.
And let me get a little bit deeper, Nate, on this one, because this is my theory, and I rolled this one out yesterday. But being around and covering this league for as long as I have and talking to players after injury, they always, and even in other sports, they always talk about the mental side. It takes longer for the mental side to get healthy than it does for the physical side
to get
healthy. And after watching those isolated plays, again, it's on the internet, it's isolated, but they were there, we all saw it. I'm looking at a guy who may be not mentally ready yet to go up the middle because of that fear. I can't say I blame him, but I think the team may need to recognize that, like, this guy's a little scared right now to go up the middle. We need to get somebody else in there.
Well, if that's the case, it's just really unfortunate because, ladies and gentlemen, they don't have any – there's no such thing as a cavalry, right? I know there's been some – you know, I saw discussions on Twitter yesterday about Elijah Mitchell, and I just said, well, he didn't show anything in the preseason, so I guess you could turn to him out of desperation. My own father, Michael Taylor, suggested to me after the game on Sunday, where's Carson Steele? Why don't they just give him a fullback to help create a little bit of a cleaner look, as saying, hey, fullback's on the field, we know we're running it, you know we're running it, but hey, at least we have someone leading the running back as to where to go, or giving him an extra time to find a lead blocker. I mean, there's not that many avenues outside of the natural growing pains of a guy coming back from an injury. And look, I mean, Pacheco deserves a ton of admiration and a ton of credit for coming back way sooner than he should have last season to give the Chiefs another option for them, you know, in their quest for a three-peat. But as of right now, it's like, would I be in favor of starting Kareem Hunt? Statistically, advanced metrics-wise, Kareem Hunt's been the more efficient running back. But in terms of confidence, I don't think you want to yank Pacheco after just, you know, a slow start with two games. But at some point in the next week, whether it's Sunday against the Giants or especially the following week against the Ravens, you need to see some form of improvement before the talk's going to get even louder of, hey, do you have to make a trade at this position before the trade deadline to be a more viable offense, especially when you have, you know, Rashee Rice coming off the suspension and you hope, you know, Xavier Worthy gets back into a rhythm himself after the dislocated right shoulder injury.
So do you think that it is ruining his confidence if you take him out, or do you think he doesn't have the confidence right now? Because if the guy doesn't have the confidence right now, I say as the head coach of this team, we got to do what's best for the other 52 players on this roster right now. And I can't worry about if that's going to affect your confidence. How does that factor in?
Yeah, well, it factors in a little bit because you've never been in this sort of predicament in the Patrick Mahomes era, right? And if you're trying to preserve Mahomes' body for the long haul of November, December, and, of course, January football, you need someone who's going to get you 3-4 yards a carry. Even if it's not sexy, pretty, alluring, whatever, it's not going to be dazzling. But Kareem Hunt, if you do lead draws, if you do duo combination blocks, hey, he'll run up the middle, he'll take on some contact, and he'll get you 3 or 4 yards. Well, at least that keeps you technically on schedule for second, third, and short sort of situations, and then obviously you let Mahomes take it from there. I would give Pacheco one more game. I know we talked about this last week with Juwan Taylor, where it was like, hey, if Matt Nagy is saying it publicly that it's got to stop, brother, this is it, because they have Jalen Moore to go to in a pinch, right? Well, again, I don't know if Elijah Mitchell is going to be active, ladies and gentlemen, on Sunday. But I think, again, this is pretty much it. If you can't get 3 games of Pacheco where you can say, hey, This guy's going to get back to where he was. He's going to start to show signs of life in terms of, again, breaking tackles, extending plays. Hey, the Chiefs don't have a running play of 20 yards or more from a running back. Hell, they can barely get a running play of 10 yards or more from a running back. So if this stays the same and Mahomes has to, again, carry the burden so much for the offense, then I think a three-game sample size, hey, let's see you squeak out a win against the Giants on Sunday. Well, you're 1-2. The offense is still, you know, a slugfest, and it's not like the Baltimore Ravens aren't a better team than the Giants. We all know that's the case. Mm-hmm. You might have to make a change in week four where you just say, hey, this guy is a veteran. We will run his body into the ground, even though he's 30 and Kareem Hunt. But you understand that, hey, those 3 or 4 yards, he's not going to lose yards. He's not going to go backwards. And maybe he can read the vision even better, even though he doesn't have the burst or the speed or the dynamic ability that we all believe Isaiah Pacheco has. It's a terrible situation to be in, but because you're 0-2, things have become more drastic than any of us realized.
Nate, I want to ask you, as we talked to Nate Taylor of ESPN here, I want to ask you about what we saw yesterday. Of course, one day they returned to practice, but it looked like Royals and Worthy were both on the practice field. What's kind of the schedule for both of them? Do they both play Sunday? Does one play Sunday? Do either one of them play Sunday?
Well, this is a great question. I think the Chiefs understand they have to get Xavier Worthy back, and it's a godsend that you could argue that he looks as comfortable and as normal as you could ask a player based on what we saw in Sao Paulo to start the season. So unless something changes, Xavier Worthy is expected to play Sunday against the Giants. The question then becomes, how effective can he be? How many touches can you give him? Can he protect himself in terms of being tackled, especially on turf, not natural grass, which is the case at MetLife Stadium. For Jalen Royals, because he's a rookie, because he's never played an NFL down, I think Andy Reid might be a little bit more traditional, perhaps a little bit more conservative. Let's give you 2 weeks of practice. Let's get you in a home environment against maybe the Baltimore Ravens. That way you understand, hey, we've gotten 2 weeks of practice. We see what you're good at. Hey, maybe this is a role on a limited snap basis where he could help us, whether that's run blocking, being sort of an outlet in the short passing game, in a role that, you know, we could kind of see in training camp where it's like, well, we know Rashee Rice probably going to get suspended. If that happens, hey, you have Juju Smith-Schuster and you have Jalen Royals to be that sort of slot, quick game receiving target alongside Travis Kelce if you need to nickel and dime teams down the field. I'm not sure Jalen Royals is going to play on Sunday, but the good news for the Chiefs is, if nothing changes between now and Sunday, you do have Xavier Worthy, and maybe you can give him the ball or two on some reverses, some end-arounds, some jet sweeps, some bubble screens, just a way to get the ball in his hands so that he can sort of use his legs, because that has not been the issue, right? It's just the shoulder. How can he protect himself? Hey, don't take a big hit, whether that's via your teammate or the opponent, mm-hmm. and let's see how the offense sort of changes a little bit when you have a more dynamic, better threat alongside, you know, your most reliable pass catcher, which is still a 35-year-old tight end in Travis Kelce.
All right, let's look on the defensive side, Nate. Besides Chris Jones, how do we get more pressure on the quarterback from Karlaftis, Amenihu, all of those guys, man?
Hallelujah for Russell Wilson. That's the answer, guys. If you're a Chiefs fan, I want to be very clear. Please, Brian Daboll, do not put Jackson Dart on that field. And Russell Wilson, stay healthy for one more game. We saw last year in Christmas, Russell Wilson holds on to the ball. You know he's going to try to throw it deep. So that's a big factor for, Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie. We'll see what happens with Christian Fulton. You know, he didn't practice yesterday. Not sure he's going to play on Sunday as that third cornerback. But look, the Giants offense is, hey, just rear that thing back and let it go and see if Malik Nabers can win a one-on-one rep down the field. He's been very good at that this season. But for the pass rush specifically, let your coverage do their job. Let Russell Wilson hold on to the ball that half second more than, you know, the average quarterback. And pray that, you know, because Chris Jones is getting pressure, hey, maybe that leads right into the lap of Karlaftis, or maybe that leads to, you know, Charles Amenihu maybe rushing from the interior on third down, using some of that quickness, some of that pass rush ability against a guard to get pressure, to get a sack. You know, it's so funny. Omar Norman Lott has perhaps the most dynamic highlight in Sunday's game against the Eagles. But that was built off the idea that he just kept working. He kept staying in his proper rush lanes. And then once it was clear that, hey, nobody's open, I can go spear the quarterback. So that rep, that highlight can definitely be recreated Sunday against the Giants if Russell Wilson doesn't get the opportunity to just launch the ball on time the way he normally likes to do. And, of course, he can scramble a little bit, but if there was ever a get-right quarterback to start to pressure, to start to sack, to get you to feel good, hey, if the Chiefs, for some reason, had a lead, gentlemen, I would like to remind the audience that the Chiefs' biggest lead this season is 3 points. So if you had a, I don't know, 7-point, 10-point lead, well, guess what? Now you can pin your ears back. You don't have to worry about the run, the running game, right? The defense doesn't have to be sort of mindful of like, hey, let's be disciplined. Now you can just like let your hair down and go get the quarterback. So it would be nice if the Chiefs had, again, a 10-point lead in the second quarter, and you can sort of dictate the line of scrimmage even more for guys like, you know, Karloftis, Aminihue, Chris Jones to really get after the quarterback. And regardless of what the score is, you know Russell Wilson's going to hold on to the ball, trying to make a bigger play than maybe the average quarterback would.
Well, Nate, thank you once again. Praise be to all the work you do over there at ESPN. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, and hopefully you're coming back with a 1-2 record.
Yeah, they better win.
Oh, no doubt. You can't end it any better than that, Nate. We appreciate you.
See you guys.
Later. Nate Taylor of ESPN there.
They better win.
Coming up on the other side, college football's transfer portal has been shook a little bit. Plus, coming up a little bit later, Alex Gold joins us for his Golden Locks here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Changes are a-coming in the spring window of college football. Believe it or not, it is happening.
Mac, you got to be excited about this.
I love it.
I think you're more excited.
I am actually really excited about this.
Everyone
should be. If you're a sports fan, this is great news.
News information came out yesterday that this is from CBS Sports, the NCAA is eliminating the spring transfer portal window and shifting to a single portal window, sources tell CBS Sports.
Good.
Finally.
Yes. I mean, it's been chaos,
it's
right?
It's been insane.
They've had a spring transfer. They've had a fall transfer. They've had a winter transfer. Basically, what we're getting down to is that its transfer portal is open 365 days of the year. And every other sport has an opportunity to have a free agency period. I don't want to hear about classes, okay? Oh, they got to get enrolled so they can go to class and all that kind of stuff.
Let class in college?
Exactly. Yeah. Let's not start with this guy's got to go to class.
Stop.
Bull crap, because it's not happening, okay? So
you don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. The fall, the transfer window, in my opinion, should be the day after the national championship game is over, and then it closes on February 1st. That gives you 2 weeks to get your transfers and all that kind of stuff, your ducks in a row. All the coaches have been hired and fired at that point anyway, right? So you're talking basically from January 21st to February 1st. That's the transfer portal window. Or maybe you make it 2 full weeks and you go to February 7th, the day after the Super Bowl or something.
Or the day
like
after
that.
The national championship ends.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah,
to the day after the Super Bowl. However you want to do the 2 weeks, right? The 2 week window. And that's it. Tough. If you don't get transferred at that point in time, tough.
Yep.
There's nothing I can say. That's what they need to do. And for college basketball, the same thing. The day after March Madness ends, just like they do in baseball, right? The day after the World Series is when free agency begins in Major League Baseball. Now, that takes an enormous long time to get anything done. I would rather have a process like football, like basketball, where
the NBA.
The NBA free agency before it starts. Same with football. It's over before it starts. That's what college sports needs to be. And then for college basketball, the day after the tournament ends, after the national championship game, that Tuesday until like tax day, right? Like the next 2 weeks for basketball. And then call it a day, because it's way too much. There's too much gook out there. It gets all gummed up, you know? And so you get 2 weeks, and if you don't make your decision up in 2 weeks, Sorry, this is called life. Welcome to it.
And you can make it feel bigger that way, too.
Absolutely you can. Hell
that's,
yes.
That's how the NBA...
Great idea,
they
yes.
make it feel so big. It's like, oh my gosh, offseason trades?
Yeah.
You know, this is awesome. Free agency in college. You're like, what the hell is happening? Who's this three-star guy going to Bowling Green?
Would you like trades in college football, though?
Hell yes.
I think that would be cool, too.
That would be sick.
Yeah. And then players, if you get traded, you get a little bit of a bump because you're getting sent to a place, you know, maybe you didn't want to go to Ashtabula State or something like that. But we're going to kick in an extra 10 grand because you're taking one for the team.
Yeah. I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've got to make it feel bigger because we don't know these guys like we know the NBA, or it's not LeBron James. It's a four-star running back out of, you know, Stanford. It's like,
right.
It's a little different.
And it really makes those guys think it's not willy-nilly anymore. And you should only get one transfer. I mean, that is it. One free transfer in college sports, and that's it, man. That's enough. It really is. Unless you've used your transfer and then that coach gets fired or moves,
okay.
Then you should be able to get another one.
I'm in.
Everybody gets one. But then if that coach, something happens, then you get another one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unforeseen circumstances.
If I went to Alabama and then Nick Saban retired, I'd be like, okay, really?
Yeah, I didn't come to play for Dopey Von Doperson
man. Not fair.
Yeah.
So, no, I like that rule, too. You can't have, I'm a senior, it's my fifth transfer. It's
yeah.
Like, what the hell,
there was
dude?
Some guy at Vanderbilt that guy went after somebody on Twitter because I think it was on Three Sports. They said so-and-so is looking for his seventh year, and he quote tweeted and goes, I'm done after this year. Well, you should have been done a long time ago, dude. Loser.
25.
Yeah, like you're no longer hanging out at the college bars. You're people's dads now.
Yeah.
I don't mind the rules of transfer. Like, what is it? You get two? Is that right? Or do you get three?
I don't know. Is there a limit?
I thought it was unlimited right now.
Russell Wilson? Yeah, I don't mind it because I think things change a lot. Like recruitment happens or transfer happens. Like you look at Mizzou. Right. Bo Pabula came from Penn State because the guy at Penn State's like, I think I'm going to stick around one more year.
Drew Aller.
And then all of a sudden Pabula goes to Mizzou and they've got their guy.
That's
and now
good.
There's people that are like, he might be their best starting quarterback since they've had Drew Locke, which wasn't that long ago. But
put
it all together, kind of was. Right.
And well, I guess SEC, it was now that you think about it. God, Locke's been in the NFL for almost a decade now.
I was going to say 7 or 8 years, right?
yeah it's been really. Night time goes fast.
Unlimited.
Yeah, so you don't need, but you shouldn't be allowed to have unlimited transfers because your feelings got hurt. You know, you can't even have unlimited transfers in the majors or in the NFL or in the NBA. You sign a contract. Now, certain individuals will pout their way out and they suck. But I think in a situation like this in college sports, man, we have coddled to too many people for far too long. It's time to bring this thing back. You've committed to the university. You get one free transfer. If the coach leaves, you get another transfer. But, man, you've committed to this place. And because you didn't work hard enough and somebody may have passed you on the depth chart, now you want to transfer because you don't want to work harder and you just want it handed to you? Up yours.
Well,
kiss my ass.
I'd say in that regard. Speaking
of time passing by, hockey training camp starts today.
Wow. Jeez. That's insane.
NBA starts in a month and a half.
I was gonna say, we're getting going. NBA will start.
Yep. Wait, when does the NBA start?
October.
Yeah, it's usually, like mid-October.
Not even, yeah, it's like mid-October.
Training camp? Because their first game's right around Halloween, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So they'll have some preseason, some training camp. Yeah, preseason NBA.
Oh, God. What's worse, fall puck or fall hoops?
That's first game in NBA history.
I think hockey's got to be better.
You think it's better?
I think it's better.
Oh, fall puck is terrible.
It's fall basketball.
Yeah, well, it's bad,
it's
too.
Pretty bad.
But once the calendar turns, you get to January, then you can start adopting the inside sports. But, you know, as of right now, it's too early for
that. Way too early. I'm football all the way.
Yeah, preseason starts Friday, October 3rd for the NBA.
Wait, say that again?
Whoa.
Friday, October 3rd is a preseason game.
For the NBA? Okay. So their training camp's got to be starting. That's 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's happening.
Jeez. Yeah, Melbourne, there's a game, preseason game in Melbourne, Australia.
Wow.
October 3rd.
I wonder if KC gets any games.
We used to. Yeah. Hey, oatmeal raisin.
Yeah, but you go to those games and they're the biggest waste of time. They found five guys in the crowd and put jerseys on them and said, you're playing for the Heat tonight.
I thought it was cool when I was a kid.
Yeah, when you're a kid.
That's Shaq.
Yeah.
He's on the bench, but that's Shaq.
But a lot of times those guys weren't even there anymore. And,
nope.
You know, I liked when they did them at Allen Fieldhouse. They did a couple of NBA preseason games there when Roy was the coach because he had the connection to Jordan.
That's sick.
And so they would bring him in every one. They would bring him in. I think it came one time and they did something. something like that, which was kind of cool.
It's really cool.
Do a preseason game there. That's something unique, you know?
Heck yes.
October 21st, 6:30 on Peacock is Houston versus Oklahoma City Thunder.
Is that the first regular season?
October 21st.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we're a month away. Yeah. So training camp for the
NBA, dude.
Basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it.
And then you've got NBC, who's now putting reporters on the bench during the game.
Hell yeah.
That's going to be awkward. Oh, I think it's going to be terrible. That.
Well, you could have the owner of your football team come down and take notes.
They're 2-0. She's doing a hell of a job over there, man.
Is it just me, or does she kind of look like Daniel Jones's mother? Without knowing what Daniel Jones' mother looks like.
I could see that.
If anybody's mom is on the field, it's Daniel Jones' mom.
Yes.
Yeah. No doubt.
Mom.
Coming up on the other side, Bob had some conversations yesterday about the Royals' future and one signing this offseason that I think is massively important. We'll discuss.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Us on the other side here, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.